You all, I am very excited about our sponsor this week, NK & Co. NK & Co. was started by Crystal. Now, Crystal, just like the rest of us growing up, was trying to find the best products for her skin, for her hair, and with that was a lot of experiment, trial, and error. Through all of that and extensive research, she created NK & Co., a natural hair and body care line. Her products are vegan and safe for children. Her products can help heal and control skin and scalp irritations like eczema, dermatitis, hair loss, all the things that people are worried about with their skin and hair. NK & Co. can help address those and help you feel more comfortable in your skin. One of the products that I really love of hers is her body butter. Ooh, I love them so much, and they really last. An 8-ounce container can last you at least 3 months, and it keeps you moisturized the entire day. You cannot beat a product like this. So it doesn't matter if you need products to heal your hair, your skin, or just to feel great. NK & Co. has you covered. Make sure you check out their website, nkndco.com, and check out her Instagram because she has a special giveaway going for Black History Month, and it is only lasting until the end of the month. Now, let's get on with the show. What's going on, everybody? I'm Mara.
And I'm Tez.
And welcome back to Sisters Who Kill. Now, everybody has been trying to be in their soft girl era, right? But listen, don't let wanting to be a soft girl make you do hard time.
Our players this week are Ashley McCarthy, Marquise's wife and the victim, Marquise Cheatham, Ashley's husband and the accomplice, and Dominique Atkinson, Marquise's girlfriend and our murderess.
Dominique Augusta Atkinson was born in 1991, even though I really couldn't find her exact date of birth. She was born near Wilmington, North Carolina, near a military base, Camp Lejeune. There isn't a lot of background about her childhood, but what we do know is that she was born into a very loving family. Now, although her parents weren't together, they were living in the same household and doing the whole co-parenting thing. So all the things that y'all baby daddy said that he's doing with his baby mama, they was really doing it for Dominique, okay? Her friends and family said that she was spoiled rotten as a child. I mean, she got whatever she wanted. She always had the nicest clothes, the nicest shoes. She never had to worry about anything. I don't know. I'm no psychiatrist, but it's definitely giving overcompensating parents because, you know, kids that are spoiled, they're either very grateful, they at least know to be grateful for the things that they have. And they were like, if she never got the shit that she requested of her parents, like things would hit the fan very quickly. Although she had a very bubbly personality, that she had a lot of friends. And as a teenager, she was really popular. She was well known in high school. Everybody said that she made a lot of friends and she had more guy friends than girl female friends. And one of them guy friends got her pregnant when she was in high school. Dominique is 16 years old, pregnant, and decides to drop out of school because she wants to raise her child. So Tazzy, I have a question for you. You and I don't have children and we were not pregnant in high school, but what do you think? And both of our mothers are very stern. What do you think would be one of the things or some of the things that your mom would make you do if you decided to have a child in high school?
She always told me, I'm taking care of that baby, not her.
So she would make you get a job?
Yes, for sure.
Okay. My mom is also big on school, so I'm sure your mom would also be like, you're going to get a job and you're going to still graduate, right? Something.
Correct.
However, Dominique's parents were the complete opposite. She was able to drop out of school. She did not have to work. She's never had a job. School, she didn't worry about it, but she wasn't that good at school anyway, so why not? And her parents foot the bill to make sure that she was taken care of. As a 16-year-old stay-at-home mom with no bills, no responsibilities, you'd think everything would be okay, but I personally, Mara's personal opinion, is I think that when you're not forced to face the actions, and understand what it's like to live with the consequences that occur, then you're going to continue to make one bad decision after another. And like we said, first child at 16. By the time Dominique was 20 years old, she was still living with her parents, now with three children by three different baby daddies, and wondering, why can't she find a man to take care of her and her children the way that her mama and her daddy take care of her and her children? Despite all that, she still believed that her Prince Charming was out there somewhere, out there waiting for her and her plus three, actually turning plus four because she's pregnant again.
So if we think back, we remember that Dominique grew up near the military base, Camp Lejeune, right? So her friends say that this kind of impacted, you know, her dating preferences because baby girl wanted a military man, okay? The uniform, the benefits, the everything. It's a whole package. So Dominique, she's newly pregnant. It's 2012 and she's over her homegirl house and she meets this man. She met Lance Corporal Marquise Cheatham. Now, we don't know much about Marquise's childhood, but what we do know is that he's originally from Montgomery, Alabama, and he was born in 1990. He grew up out in Alabama, and all the way through high school, he lived out there. And while he was in high school, he met the love of his life, Ashley McCarthy. Now, a year after joining the military, Marquise and Ashley decided that they're going to elope because, you know, it was high and heavy. So they had to make it serious. You've got military benefit. Who needs anybody else's permission? We're about to get paid.
I don't even think it was like that. It seemed like they were high school sweethearts, so they were probably in love. And she was probably, I don't know, she was living like her movie life where he has to go off to do his military thing and I get to stay at home and do my thing because my husband is now serving the military. Look at us. We're in the 1930s. Like, that's what I imagine you would fantasize that to be. And then he was also paying her bills back home because he's her husband and was taking care of her. Like, she was, and they loved each other. It mm-hmm. wasn't, I don't even know if it was even about the military benefits.
I'm sure that was part because of the consideration.
I was about to say, because she from Montgomery, so you already know that they know what's going on down there. Them military folks down there. So I'm just saying, I don't know.
With the, I think.
When you're young, you're not always thinking, I don't know, in my mind, I guess I have to think about what I was thinking about at 20 versus other people, because I think I was definitely living a fantasy world when I was 20 years old, thinking I was going to date the person or marry the person that I was thought I was going to marry. I was living in a big fantasy world. Yeah. Tinkerbell land.
Yeah. But, and I think even she probably did feel like she was going to stay with that person. Two things can be true at the same time. So she could very much be deeply in love and very much be enticed of the military benefits and say two and two go together, let's do it. So the two fell deeply in love. They continued to date. And upon graduation in December of 2009, Marquise joined the Marines. And he served in the Marines as a personal clerk at the base camp located in Camp Lejeune, Jacksonville, North Carolina. Like Mariah said, you know, Marquise, he's in North Carolina doing his time, fulfilling his duties, and he's sending money back home to support his now wife, Ashley. While in Montgomery, Ashley is living with her dad. Now, in Ashley's free time, she likes to volunteer at local nursing homes. She likes to travel to other states to help feed the homeless. And, you know, she was very much a part of her community. She didn't just sit around and waste all her free time of being spoiled and taken care of. She definitely liked to give back to her community. 2 years after joining the military and a year after being married in February of 2011, Marquise decides that he is going to join the Marine Corps Engineering School. Throughout his time here, he never really served overseas, but I didn't take away from him because he was recognized on three different occasions. He was awarded the Marine Corps Good Conduct Medal, the Global War on Terrorism Medal, and the National Defense Service Medal. So we have ourselves here a decorated hero, if you will. Marquise is up here by himself. Like we said, one day, Dominique is over her friend's house, and that's where she runs into him, and that's where he runs into her. Their eyes meet. It's an instant connection. On first sight, Dominique is noticing, and Chantoya is noticing, that's her friend whose house she was over at, that your guy is built, okay? He's buff, built like a Marine. Y'all know how the Marines built. You know, I ain't never seen the Skinny Marines.
No, I haven't either.
So he was what they call him? What they call him on Jersey Shores? A meatball, if you will. They noticed that he was somewhat attractive when he flexed his muscles, and the uniform was not a bad thing, and the benefits were not a bad thing either. Like, he's hitting all the marks, military man. The two quickly fell in love. They fell fast and hard for each other. And after a few months of getting to know each other, Dominique is like, listen, Marquise, I love you, but I haven't been completely honest with you. He's like, what is it, girl? You could tell me anything. And she's like, I'm pregnant and the baby's not yours. He's like, you cheated on me? She's like, no, I would never. But I was pregnant when me and you first started talking. And he was like, he says, it's okay, baby. The past is the past. I can love you and this child. This would be the perfect start to our family. And she's like, oh my God. You're just so sweet and understanding. That's what's going to make this next part harder to say. He was like, what is it? I already got 3 other kids by 3 different men. Please tell me you still love me. He was like, well, I think I can be man enough to accept this, but I'm going to need you to accept something from me too. And she's like, what is it? You got kids too? He's like, no, I don't have any kids, but I do have a wife.
Baby. You know what? 3 kids by 3. Before I get on him, 3 kids by 3 different baby daddies, I have seen it happen before. And I've seen on like TikTok where these girls are talking about how they may have kids by different baby daddies, but they're all the baby daddy's first baby mama. Mm-hmm. And they're like, it's the life. It's the life that you want to live.
I see that.
I mean, think about it. All these grandmamas, mm-hmm. and it's their first grandbaby, mm-hmm. they're going to help. All these niggas, you don't have to have him split up his child support between 3 kids. No. He has this child support for his kid. This daddy has this child support for this kid. There's a method to the madness, it seems. It seems to be.
If you play your cards right, you too. Look, and if there's they're real good grandmas, money. They'll take care of the other kids. That ain't her grandbaby, but she's just excited. And the same thing, double up. How many grandmas can you get?
As many grandparents as you can get. No, don't take that advice.
Grandparents are the best.
Grandparents are the best. But yes. And you know how niggas are. Niggas lie. And Marquise was definitely a lying-ass nigga. And he would be like... And you know how men are when they're trying to prove their point and they're trying to make everything seem like it's great. They pull like a DDG where they just put the other woman down and they put you on a really high pedestal. And in order to do that, they have to push the other woman down and make her seem crazy. Yeah, so he was doing that. He was like, I don't even want her no more. I've already, in my heart, we have a divorce. And actually, the papers, I've signed the papers. We just waiting on her, baby. It's about to be official. It's about to be for real over. And Dominique... She may be born at night, but it wasn't last night. She was like, okay, well, how's your wife doing? Because you're still technically married. How's your wife doing? That would be some shady shit if I would ever fuck with a married man, which I would never do. I know that would be the shady shit that I pull. How's your wife? And each time he was like, listen, Ashley don't even matter no more. It's about me. It's about you and these 4 children. Me and her. Don't even worry about it, baby. You're about to pop out this baby. And you're about to pop out this baby soon. We've only been dating for a few months. And you about to pop out this baby. We got bigger things to worry about. And the thing we got to worry about is me and you, okay? So don't worry about shit else. Boom. Here's an apartment for you. You know the love bombing. So he gets her an apartment. Moves her out of her mama and her daddy house. You know he was paying the bills. He would be babysitting the kids so that she could go out and have her me time. I don't know what me time you need when you ain't got no job. And because she was constantly showered with these gifts, she completely ignored the huge red flag that is an unfinalized divorce. And I do think, you know, that Dominique did see the red flags, but you know, flags are red, roses are red, seems like the same thing to me. And her friends were like, girl, you know, are you sure this man is really going to leave his wife to be with you and four kids? And she's like, yes, baby, this man loved me. I know we've only been together a few months, but this man loves me, okay? Dominique's friend, Shantoya, was like, I mean, he's taking care of her. He's buying her everything. He making sure she's straight. So if this is love, do-do-do-do, da-da-da-da. Now, at this point, Dominique was 21, a legally single but actually not single mom to four, and she had never worked a day in her life. Everything was handed to her. However, back in Montgomery, Alabama, shout out to the Gump, Marquise's wife was unaware that her husband not only was stepping out on her with another woman, but literally taking care of this woman plus her four children, including a fresh newborn. But since Marquise had been taking the financial burden of an entire family, that means that there was little money left to send back to his real wife in Alabama. After a while, Ashley started noticing that no money was coming in and the bills were piling up and her husband was not taking on his responsibility. Ashley is calling Marquise and she's like, what's going on? Like, what's up? What's happening? The things that we are supposed to be doing as a couple, as a married couple, are not happening. And every time that they would talk about money, and he was like, listen, you ain't got nothing to worry about. Ain't nothing fishy going on. Everything's good. And she's like, okay, well, the bills are piling up. And after a while, he stopped taking her calls. Just completely ghosted his wife. That don't even make sense. How you ghost your wife?
Houseway.
So now Ashley, she's really fed up. She's trying to get answers out of him. He's not giving her anything. And I don't know if she had familial military ties, but I do know that there's a big base in Montgomery. And so she decided that she was going to call his bosses, his superiors, because it's a part of the military. You cannot abandon your wife. So she calls them. She talks about how he's not taking care of his family financially and his wife financially. And that's part of the duties of being in the military, apparently. I don't know. I'm not in the military. But, like, you have to be a man. Rawr. The same rules from World War I are the same rules now, you know? And according to military code, it's abandoning your wife without consent or plan of returning. So when this happens, Marquise gets a call from his superiors basically being like, why are you not taking care of your wife? Ooh, imagine your job calling you like, why are you not taking care of your wife?
Right.
And remember, he's really decorated. He's great at his job. He does well on base. He's doing well in the military, working on continuing to raise in rank. And so when this happens, he's embarrassed. And, you know, people don't take embarrassment well. And his embarrassment turned to anger. He's furious. He calls her, why the fuck you ain't tell me? Why the fuck you can just, why you ain't communicate with me? Why you ain't communicate with me? Well, nigga, I've been trying to communicate with you. You're not answering the phone.
Maybe if I wasn't blocked, I don't know if she was blocked, but it's giving blocked.
Right. Maybe if I could talk to, I don't know, my husband, then we could communicate. That's how niggas be. They be like, why you ain't communicate, nigga? Because you haven't been here. So he comes home. After a long day, Dominique is like, hey, baby, how was your day? And he's pissed. He's like, I can't believe that this shit happens. Tells her about being called in by his bosses. Tells her, like, he's so embarrassed. I can't believe that Ashley would do this shit. You know this is fucking with my money. And they can take my money away. The benefits that I have, they can start dwindling that shit down if she continues to make these claims. And Dominique's ears perked up because what you mean? Not me, my four kids and my nails. What? And so he's pissed. He's venting to her. And he's like, you know what? A divorce ain't going to cut it no more. Like, you and I, you want to be with me? You want us to be happy? She's like, yeah, I want us to be happy. Well, we're not going to be happy until Ashley is dead.
I just don't understand how you vow to live the rest of your life with somebody and then end up as she has to die.
You know?
Like, you know? And not because she disrespected you in any kind of way. She ain't slap your mama. She ain't burn your sneakers. Like, none of this shit, not that any of that is justifiable, but like.
I was about to say, would you kill somebody for burning your sneakers, Tessie?
No, but I have a good argument at least.
A nigga was tired of arguing.
But you ain't even arguing. You ain't even picking up the phone.
You're not even arguing. I'm telling you, I know this conversation. And I know he was like, you just got to communicate with me. And she literally had been trying for months. Not months, weeks. Because they ain't even been together. Dominique ain't even been in the picture that long.
And you ready to blow it all up? Are you big mad?
And you're switching up so quickly. So you know I know that women aren't stupid. I know that men listen to this podcast. I want to tell y'all something.
You feel it in the pit of your stomach. Dating,
you she feel knows. It. You know it.
You're not as slick as you think you are. You know? And even if she tried to convince herself that she didn't know, when she find out, she's going to remember the exact moment she knew.
Yep. They know the red flags. Mm-hmm. It's if you choose to see them.
Because they could just be roses, right?
Right. So Dominique, she actually wasn't really aware that Marquise and Ashley had been arguing about money. She wasn't aware of the fact that he was paying bills down there and that now she's fighting him because she needs/wants the money. He was like, listen, if something happens because she's just a spiteful... See, this is niggas like this that I hate because... You could just divorce her instead of just constantly putting her down to somebody else when it's you that's a horrible person. He's like, she's spiteful. She's bitter. Like, and she going to take all of our money and we're going to have nothing. And then Dom is like, okay, well, just let me know what I got to do. Now, Dominique, she is clearly in love and it's like the deep part of puppy love. And she basically would do anything to keep him, to make sure that he was happy. And Marquise, he literally had a hold on Dominique. Like, people were saying that if Marquise was like, Dominique, go do this, she go do it. No questions asked. If he said jump, she said how high. And Dominique literally said that she saw Marquise as, like, heaven sent. Like, literally, I prayed to the Lord to send me a good man that could take care of me and my kids and get me out of my mama and daddy house, and I still ain't gotta work. And I found this man that is built, he attractive, he got good benefits, he love kids, ain't got his own. I'm still gonna be baby mama number one. Like, this is exactly everything I wanted. Thank you, God, right? And if killing this woman is going to solidify this relationship, then that's just what we're going to have to do.
At this time, Dominique and Marcus have only been dating for 9 months. Do you hear me? 9 months at the time that they agreed to kill his wife. Now, Marquise has convinced Dominique that Ashley is the main person stopping them from being together. She won't sign these papers. He's tried to work things out. She's not listening. She's being unreasonable. All the things, right? So days later on Easter weekend, Marquise and Dominique take a 9-hour drive to Montgomery, Alabama. Dominique tells her friends, yeah, we just gonna go down there so he can finalize things with his divorce. And I'm gonna stay with him and his moms while we down there. I'm gonna be my old lady. It's March 31st of 2013. Now they get to Alabama around 8 p.m. that night and they decide to stay at Marquise's mama house, like she had said, in North Montgomery. Once they settle in, Marquise calls Ashley. He's like, yo, I'm here. Let's talk. I need you to pick me up from the airport. We gonna figure out what's what with this relationship for once and for all, you know? Talk about everything that's been going on for the past few months or whatever. Ashley agrees to pick Marquise up from the airport around 11 p.m. Before she leaves the house, she tells her daddy goodbye. All right, daddy, I'm gonna see you later. I'm gonna go pick up Marquise. We're gonna talk about things, figure out what's been going on. So around 10:30 p.m., Dominique drops Marquise off at a shopping center that's across the street from the airport where he's supposed to meet Ashley. Ashley and Marquise finally get together. He's like, you hungry? I could eat. She's like, yeah, I could eat. Where do niggas in the South eat? At the Waffle House. Let's go. So they go to the Waffle House. They eat their meal. And not much time has to pass before the two start arguing. They go to the car. They argue some more. They going back and forth. Nigga, you been acting weird.
I ain't been acting weird. You just be getting on my nerves. No, because, you know, we have bills down here and all of a sudden the checks stop coming. Why you trying to bleed me dry? You just asked my money. Nigga, I was with you before you even had any money. What did you talk about? You talk too much. All that shit, right? The argument is getting intense, and all of a sudden, Marquise picks it up a notch by pulling out his service weapon, and he waving in the air, waving all in Ashley's face and shit. And Ashley, it's like, hold the hell up. So the two of them, at this point, the way TV One tells it is that Marquise is at this point holding Ashley hostage and tells her that she needs to drive him to his mama's house because they only got her car because Dominique dropped him off, right? So Ashley and Marquise pull up to his mama's house and Dominique is there and she's surprised to see, like, things have escalated for real, for real. And Marquise is holding a gun to Ashley as they get out the car. Now, still holding her at gunpoint, he takes her to the back of her own car, pops the trunk, and tells her to get in.
Trunk?
The trunk. So he closes the trunk, gets in the driver's seat, and tells Dominique to follow him at her car. She's like, okay. So they drive about a mile west, and they stop into some woods. Now, when they stop, Ashley's like, all right, this is my chance. So she pulls the safety latch in the trunk and she starts running, making a mad dash, running for her life, okay? Marquise sees her get loose and he starts chasing her. And the unfortunate thing about it is I'm not trying to get caught in no race with a Marine. He's, of course, running behind her. And as he's running, he's shooting at her, just hoping that a bullet will hit her. All this is going on and Dominique is still back by the cars, watching and listening to what's going on. She hears the gunshots. She hears Ashley screaming. She hears Marquise screaming. But throughout any of these events, did Ashley say, let me call the cops. Let me tell him to stop. Let me leave. Like anybody for help, something, it's out of control. It started off out of control. Before he even got back to you, it was already out of control. I'm getting into my, I didn't do it. Let me calm down. Yeah, she didn't make any decision to assist Ashley. She just waited and did nothing.
While Dominique was waiting and doing nothing, Marquise was in pursuit of Ashley. He finally got a clear aim of her and shot her twice at the back, causing her to fall down. Now, adrenaline was going through her like crazy. Her survival was kicking in. And so she only stayed down for a bit and she got up and she kept going. She's running and she's begging him, please, you don't have to do this. Why? Do not kill me. She sees somebody's house. She's running to the house. It's her last chance to find some help. Maybe she can bang on the door. She falls and collapses on the porch of this person's house. Marquise comes up, stands over her. She's begging for her life, and he puts the gun up to her forehead and shoots her. She dies instantly, and Marquise just leaves his wife there on some random person's doorstep and goes back to Dominique. I also want to remind you that technically, this is past midnight, so it's that Monday morning, the April 1st. But this was also Easter. Like, you drove down here on Easter to come kill. Okay, y'all be playing with the Lord. Some things you just don't do. What's the woman that killed the pastor? Killing people on Easter? No couth. Anyways, now nobody heard anything. And when Marquise gets back to Dominique, Dominique is surprised because Marquise did not come back with Ashley. He's back alone. Marquise and Dominique, they take Ashley's car and they dump it behind a nearby abandoned building. The building wasn't too far from his mother's house. And after they dump the car, they get back in one car, go to his mother's house, cleans up, changes clothes. Where is his mother? We'll ask those questions later. Goes back to his mother's house, cleans up, changes clothes, and then immediately goes back to North Carolina. While there, he dumps the gun, jumps Ashley's purse and her cell phone before he makes it back home. Now, the next day, the next morning, I mean, I don't know, the person that owned the house opened their front door and there was a dead body sitting there. And they had They were clearly freaked out. They didn't know what to do. And so they call 911. Police are, of course, like, we're on our way. Just stay inside of the house. A woman was walking her kid to school, saw Ashley's body on the neighbor's front porch, clearly dead. Also calls the police. Police are like, yes, ma'am, we've already heard it. We're on the way. Police and EMS respond. They're on the 3700 block of Lower Wetumpka around 7 a.m. April 1st, 2013. When they see Ashley, obviously they know that she has been dead and she is cold. She's been dead for a while. And they can clearly see, even before the medical examiner takes her body, that she died of a single gunshot wound to the head. When the police found her body, of course they were able to take what they could, but they had no idea who she was. She had no ID. She had no personal items with her. They ran her fingerprints. She has a clean record, so she's never been to jail. They had nothing. All they did was just hold the body at the morgue until somebody came looking. And there was somebody looking, because Ashley's daddy, he was no fool. And when his daughter did not come home after meeting with her husband, as soon as he woke up on April 1st, 2013, he made sure that he filed a police report. He filed a missing persons report, and 100% he knew exactly where she was going. And he was like, I don't know it for sure because she made sure to say bye to me and made sure I knew exactly where she was before she left this house.
Because Papa don't play that.
You listen, and he's searching for 2 days. He's looking high and low. He's trying to find his daughter. And it wasn't until 2 days later that Ashley's dad was able to find her body and properly identify her body. Since daddy already knew what was up, he was already aware of the fights that her and Marquise were having. He was able to point right to the suspect. So the police decide, okay, well, obviously Marquise is who we need to be looking into. And what also helped is that there was a witness. Now the witness, they said that they saw a large black man arguing with a black woman. They were up there on Upper Wetumpka Road, and it was really early in the morning, April 1st. And they're like, okay, this is great. Then they pulled cell phone records from Marquise, and the cell phone records showed that him and, when they looked a little closer, his boo thing, they were in the area at the time of Ashley's murder. So the police are like, great, it's time for us to take a little trip to North Kakalaka. At this time, Dominique and Marquise, I mean, they feel like they got away with murder. They're living it up. They're doing their thing. They're living their life like it's golden. And boy, it moves quick. I mean, they identified the body. They got the cell phone records and they ran right up there, because literally that same day, the day after, two full days after the murder, Marquise and Dominique were both arrested in North Carolina. Marquise, he was taken into custody by the U.S. Marine Corps because base is right there. And Dominique was being held by the North Carolina authorities. They were both extradited back to Alabama so they could be questioned by the local authorities of Onslow County Sheriff's Office. Ooh, which is crazy. Like, how embarrassing. The people that you kick it with now got to come arrest you because you know all them niggas, right?
Mm-hmm.
Ooh. So at the beginning of the interrogation, now that they're back in Alabama, Marquise just denies. He ain't been in Alabama in a minute, okay? And Marquise is like, I haven't seen my wife in a while. This is so horrible to hear, but I'm here in North Carolina.
Deny. It wasn't me, right? Ain't no way it could have been me. I stay in North Carolina. It's happened in Alabama. Can't be two places at once, am I right? The cops are like, no, in fact, you can't. And so here are your phone records placing you in Alabama. So tell me where you were again. He's like, okay, listen, I was in Alabama. Okay, actually. So my wife and I, we got something to eat together. And then when we were leaving the restaurant, actually, she kind of just started tripping, you know? She yelling and screaming. She hitting on me, getting upset. And he was like, I had to subdue her. I had to get her calm. And she refused to stop attacking me. And that's what made me have to pull out my service weapon in the first place. And they're like, did you shoot at Ashley? He's like, I mean, did I shoot in her direction? Yes. But it's because she wouldn't stop hitting me. It was self-defense, right? Now, the cops are like, okay, Marquise, and how did you trying to calm her down from her hitting you to you pulling out a gun and firing bullets at her equate to her now being dead? We think we got it, but how about you fill in the gap? He's like, I don't really remember much after that. I blacked out. So here we are just 5 days after Marquise killed his wife, and he's now charged with capital murder during a robbery because technically they stole Ashley's car before they dumped it. So they went ahead and added that charge on in there. Of course, he's immediately dishonorably discharged from the Marines and was also deemed AWOL because you left the state of North Carolina without telling your boss that you wasn't going to be in a local area for a three-day weekend. They got Dominique held up in the other room, so they was like, let's get cracking on you. So Dominique, same thing. I don't know nothing. I don't know what you're talking about. Who? Ashley who? I don't know nothing, right? And the cops are like, listen, we already got a bit of info. It's best you just tell us what's what. She's like, listen, I know the plan was to kill Ashley, okay? It don't even make sense why Marquise would want her dead in the first place. I'm just still not even clear on that whole part of it, right? She says that she did hear some gunshots, but she had no idea that Marquise was planning on killing Ashley that night. Cops are like, say what you want, but this woman here is dead, and you were there throughout the entirety of her murder, and you still ain't really said shit. We brought you down here, and you still playing stupid. Like, you sounded just as guilty as him. So both of y'all gonna sit in here, and y'all gonna wait trial.
Take that shit to trial, bitch. Take that shit to trial, bitch. Take that shit to trial, bitch. Take that shit to trial.
Now, during this time she's locked up, awaiting trial, Dominique keeps in close contact with her girl, Shantoya. Now, all these phone calls that she's having with homegirl, it's like, oh, I love me some Marquise. How's his case going? I hope he's okay. I hope he don't gotta do no real time and we can just get back to living our life together on the outside. And Shantoya is like, listen, girl.
It's like when you know that your friend is so deep off the edge and you're just like, I don't
know. I need you to stop.
My rope is not long enough to pull you up, friend.
She's like, listen, I really think you need to leave this man alone. Because at the end of the day, Shantoya don't even believe that Dominique had anything to do with this. She think it's all Marcus lying to set her up and that Dominique just rolling with it because she's so deep in love.
So for their crimes, they both face 20 years to life in prison in the state of Alabama. Since a weapon was used, their minimum is going to be 20 years. And they were sitting there in their jailhouse deciding what they were going to do. And they both decided that they were going to plead guilty to murder. They both pled guilty for their murders and they forgoed a trial by a jury of their peers. Dominique was sentenced on April 28th, 2016, and she was given a life sentence. Marquise was also given a life sentence. As of right now, neither Dominique nor Marquise has asked for an appeal in their case. And Dominique, according to her friends, they say that she's very remorseful about what she's done, that she, if she could take it back, then she would. According to them, she's really grown since she's been incarcerated. As of right now, she's in the Birmingham Community Work Center, and she actually got her GED while she was incarcerated. I'm not really sure where Marquise is. Now, according to that TV1 episode that we listened to or we watched, she will be eligible for parole when she turns 32, but I'm also not very sure about that because on the prison website, it'll say nothing about a possible parole date. Or parole hearing.
Well,
you know. Oh, it does. It does. It says it right here. Hold on. It says that as of right now, she's served 9 years, 9 months, and 25 days. She's got 1,103 jail credit. Don't know what that means. Her minimum release date, it says 12/31/999, so that means they pretty much maxed it out. But her parole consideration date would be May 1st, 2028. And as of right now, no hearing has been scheduled. Also saw on For My Man that three of her four kids are being raised by her family members and one was adopted. Not sure which child it was, not sure who adopted. I'm sure that's none of our business. Ashley's dad is just like, this is a tough situation. Like, that's his baby girl, but he's really happy that justice was served and justice was served swiftly. And
he's just in awe, like, that Marquise would do this. And that's what kills me. Like, you hurt these families and you've known these people since you were a teenager. So you know that you're hurting more than just her. And you know exactly, and you know personally the people that you're hurting. And Ashley's dad just couldn't believe that he would be able to do something like this to her. He said, quote, "I had known him for years and I just never expected this. I know she never expected this or thought this would happen to her." Now, according to her daddy, her dad's name is Freddie, he thinks that there was also a life insurance policy out on Ashley and that he planned on cashing in on it. However, no one's really heard anything about that theory. That's Freddie's theory, and he's sticking with it. All right. That was the end of the show. It's time for...
Well, I'm not black. I'm OJ.
I didn't do it, but if I did, this is how I would have got away with it. Let's start with the most common thing. I didn't do it, but if I did, girl, Dominique, this story really shouldn't have been about you. It should have been all about Marquise. You should have gone to trial so you at least wouldn't be on this show. I feel like you had a case there that would at least given you a lesser sentence than murder, you know? Maybe you would have had a little robbery. Maybe you would have had a little, maybe involuntary manslaughter. Maybe you would have had a conspiracy to commit. Maybe you would have had things that were less than murder. You may have had a chance, but I understand. You were new to Alabama, so you ain't know that they don't play like that. And your public defenders don't care like that. That's what happens when you play around.
I ain't do it, but if I did. I ain't do it, but if I did. I'm dating a nigga for 9 months. And, okay, sure, I hid a big-ass secret. Like, I have 4 kids. But this nigga is married. And shortly after, you get so enraged that she told on you that you said, let me and you kill her? If, first of all, it should have never been brought to me. If it was right. Going to be some, right. It should have been your doing.
Your
How
business.
Dare you mix me into this mess? Girl, this ain't had nothing to do with you. This was a him or her problem. Let it be between him or her.
That's how people feel, though. They'd be like, this my man, so I'm going to stick up for him regardless. No, girl. Let him look dumb on his own.
Because now here y'all are both dealing with the consequences and when the last time you spoke to this man. So y'all could live happily ever after. That's what it was for, right?
Yeah, you live happily ever after in the Department of Corrections of Alabama. And that's so, that kills me. Like, she's not from Alabama. You literally did your crime in a state that you're not from, and your family has to now to come and see you. They have to do the absolute most. You have nobody there. That's terrifying.
Absolutely.
I didn't do it, but if I did, cell phone towers, if y'all needed GPS or wherever the fuck, y'all were together. Y'all really didn't need y'all phones, honestly. And it's kind of a 2 straight shots from North Carolina to Montgomery.
I'm telling you, learn how to follow street signs. They'll tell you where to go.
So you really didn't even need your phone.
Because once you get there, it's your hometown. You know where you're going.
Exactly. You should have told your wife ahead of time what time to pick you up from the airport so she would have already been there. Of course, your phone wouldn't have been on because you were in the air. But you had your phone. Of course they were going to track it. Dummy.
Duh. Almost the way that I hear this story is really that, like, Ashley was just in shock of everything that's going on. But the way that you, I ain't do it, but if I did, the way that you sat back and did absolutely nothing throughout, like, you say, this shit escalated. I don't know what to do. I guess I'll just do what he says. At some point, you have to snap out of it and realize that there is a very bad thing going on right here and you don't need to have anything to do with it. Because I ain't do it, but if I did, my kids would be more important than this relationship I got going on. Being there for my kids is going to be more important than being there for my man. Especially, you know, some people like to say, you know, you follow the man and the kids, whatever. The kids came before this nigga.
Right. This ain't they daddy.
Right. So the rules don't apply that way. Like, no. Make sure they good first. And that don't mean by you don't put yourself in a position to be taken away from them like that, chasing down some nigga. Mm.
I ain't do it, but if I did, I think I want to back it up and go to her parents because clearly there was no, like, value to anything. And she did not know how to be grateful because everything was given to her. I don't understand how you can have
four kids by 21 and have parents that are not going to make you get a job or find your worth or find the worth and the value of the things that they do for you. Because you remember, we went to high school with this nigga. His parents were wealthy, okay? He was the last person to get a car. He got it at graduation, and it was a Nissan fucking, like, Ultima or something. But we wouldn't even know that that nigga was rich because his parents were very much like, this is our money, and we allow you to live here to take care of you, and you will appreciate and learn how to work. He didn't have to have a job, but he also knew the value of a dollar, and his parents taught that. And I think that's really important to make sure that you raise ain't shit kids. That's the nicest way I can say that. And also,
to make sure that you do raise ain't shit kids, you want to raise shit kids.
Yeah, you want them to be some shit, okay? You want your kids to be some shit, okay? Not ain't shit. Everybody that's listening to this with their parents gonna be like, I'm some shit.
Right. Who the shit? You the shit.
You the shit. And so, did you hear about this girl? I was listening to a Professionally Silly podcast, and she was talking about, she covers like funny topics and things like that. And this girl on her sweet 16, her mother got her a Tesla, and she was pissed. Black girl, pissed. Upset because she wanted a pink Mercedes. And mom was like, you're just not being grateful. You're just not being grateful. But the same day took her to the dealership to return the Tesla and get her the Mercedes.
Wonder why she didn't have to learn how to be grateful.
Right.
Wonder why that didn't stick.
And then she was upset because her mom wanted to get her like a 2019 or a 2020 Mercedes instead of 2023. And her mom was like, I don't even have a 2023 car. Like, what the fuck? And she was like, but you got money. You got it. Whoo.
Now, one thing you won't do is count my goddamn pockets, okay?
I don't like that anywhere. Kids, don't be counting your parents' pockets. Three hots and a cot?
That's all they are.
All right, you better enjoy it here because you can get three hots and a cot in prison, too. I think I don't have any more. Parole or no parole?
Let's see what she does with her life, right? I really don't think she meant to get caught up in this. I think she should have opened her mouth a lot sooner. So
I'll hear her at the board and see what she has to say.
Yeah, definitely feel like she needs at least 20 years because I just feel like, maybe out of swift 25 years, she could be paroled. She did get her GED, like I said, so she's at least doing something. I don't know. I just feel like this was so dumb and this had nothing to do with you. And that's the suckiest crime. So a crime that ain't got, now you're in prison for the foreseeable future, for something that you ain't have to be involved in. So I feel like I too would hear her out at the parole hearing and possibly give her parole after a solid 25 years. Cool. That's the end for real. You ready to read some reviews, friend?
Oh, yeah.
You guys can also, if you follow the public Facebook page, you can leave us a review on Facebook as well, and I appreciate it. I don't know where you're reading your reviews from, but for the next foreseeable future, I will be reading reviews specifically from the Sisters Who Kill podcast public Facebook group. This is not the discussion group. It's the public Facebook group. This one is from Devon. Devon says, so I was not a true crime fan, but my best friend recommended your podcast after listening one time. I promised her I would actually listen to it, and one listen, and I'm in. The delivery is relatable and to the point. Thanks for giving me something new. You're welcome, girl. I know some people say that our podcast is confusing to listen to, but like, we're the perfect podcast for other people that have ADHD because that's how we tell our stories.
Mm-hmm.
Like a mad woman. Public Facebook page. You can like it, follow it, and leave a review for us on there.
It says, beautiful queens who bring the real by Afro-Rican Queen.
Okay.
Ladies, first and foremost, let me just say you guys do an amazing job of bringing these cases to the light and bringing the facts. I just love, love, love the bond you guys have. You bring light to not only one another, but to all your fans listening. I started listening to this podcast as a way to pass a hard mental time in my life. It's like the more I listened, the more I felt connected to y'all. Thank you for all the laughs and suspenseful moments, Mirah and Tazzy. Tazzy, girl, your laugh is contagious. Mirah, your voice feels like home. Like y'all always say, all right, bye.
Thanks.
Thank you so much.
We're happy to be here for you.
Absolutely.
All right, y'all. If you want to keep up with this podcast, you totally can. Like I said, you can follow and leave a review on our public Facebook page, Sisters Who Kill Podcast. You can follow us on Twitter, Sisters Who Kill, on Instagram to see stories about this case, Sisters Who Kill Pod, TikTok, where I talk about the case, Sisters Who Kill Podcast. And you can join the discussion group where we get into all the nitty gritty details or just talk and have fun. Make sure you answer the questions to get in, answer them thoroughly, and be kind. Anything else, friend?
Talk to us. We talk back.
Bye.